Well, I didn't plan this where you had to listen to me 2 weeks in a row, but it just worked out that way. And I didn't really pick too much along of a topic, so we'll be getting out of here fairly early. And I picked this topic about a month ago before I read this week's Sabbath school lesson. And the same thing, to talk about true prophets and false prophets. And we know as we read through the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, all of the prophets were mentioned there either by name or just being a prophet or a man of God. And most of them were in the Old Testament, but we also know that there are prophets today. Our prophetess that we had ourselves, Ellen White, for our church, other prophets. And we know that there are true prophets and false prophets today, just as there was so long ago. So the topic is the seven signs to go by, or seven rules to know a true prophet. So let us have a word of prayer first. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we just ask for your guidance and direction as we read your word and to learn of it and how to apply it to our lives today, Father, so that we can truly be your children, that we can truly be obedient to thee and follow thy word, Father. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit impresses it upon our hearts to be truly obedient to thee and to be your children forever and ever, knowing that Jesus paid the price for each and every one of us, that we all might live. So we just pray and thank thee on this Sabbath day as we sup with thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Matthew 24:24. Familiar scripture. Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. You know, we need to have a way to how to judge between a true prophet and a false prophet, especially in these last days, because we know that the things that Satan is going to do, the way that he's going to use people to try and get around and get us to go against, to go with him. And so we need to have it clear in our minds between a true and a false prophet. And we're told that we're not to apply God's works to Satan, nor are we to supply Satan's works to God's works. So we need to know how to differentiate between the two. We know that Satan is... His miracles, his things that he is going to do are so much like Christ that we may have a hard time deciphering if we don't really read the Bible and look at that. So we need to know the Bible standards. And there's seven rules that they have picked out. And the first one is Isaiah 8. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 16 through 20. Isaiah 8, 16 through 20. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? For the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to his word, if it be because there is no light in them. And they do. They have to, whoever is speaking has to speak according to this word here that we have to go by. You know, and this is one of the tests of a true prophet. You know, God has given us the testimonies to the church. He's made plain the Ten Commandment law and the other laws that are in the Bible, you know, to his people. And we need to keep the commandments. I talked about the commandments last Sabbath there. And we know the commandments in chapter 20 of Exodus 1 through 17. And we have to follow them explicitly. You know, we need to know the Bible well enough to be able to tell whether the person speaking is speaking in the name of the Lord or not. And so we just need to really study our Bible and to search out things that when we are told something, not to believe it until we've checked it out in the Bible. Does he strictly keep the commandments, especially the Sabbath? Does he believe in the testimonies? Does he put the right texts of Scripture together to make truth? Testimonies to the Church, number 33, in 1 Corinthians 14:24 through 25. And the second rule is 1 John 4, 1 through 3. And all of these are familiar to us. These verses are familiar. 1 John 4, 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist where ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. And we do know that this Antichrist does not acknowledge this, as we say there about all of these things. Do it. But according to Elder Loewenbrau, this text of Scripture doesn't mean the human flesh, which Jesus came into this world with, but it means that he has come or comes into our human flesh or our human hearts when we accept him as our personal Savior, you know. And as I said, the Antichrist Christ does not acknowledge this. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we do that. Christ is our hope. He is our hope. He is our glory. And we need to look to him for everything. We know that he is not here with us right now, but one day soon we're going to be with him. His second coming is intimate. And whether we die before that happens, we know that the next thing that we see will be the face of Jesus as he comes from heaven. Yeah. St. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And we know that we can become the sons and daughters of God if we will follow him, if we obey the commandments, and we receive Christ as our personal Savior. And yes, he is the Son of God. He is coming again. He will come for his people. And all of the glory, in all of his glory, we will see that. And the third rule is 1 John 4, 5. Just a couple of verses over. It's about false prophets. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. And they speak of the world, you know, and only those who are born in the Spirit can speak of spiritual things in harmony with the Word of God. It has to be in harmony with the Word of God, or they are false prophets. These false prophets or worldly preachers speak in terms of evolution in the world. And we know that they do not harmonize Bible prophecies together. They speak smooth things. Jeremiah 23:16 and 17, 2 Peter 3:16. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Verses 2 through 4. 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they leap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And we know that they will do that there. And just as we have read in our Sabbath school lessons there, it means that we have to be aware of this, and it can come from within our own church. Our own church ranks, we have to watch out and try to make sure that we are not deceived by them. And our fourth one is James 5:10. James 5:10. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. And yes, true prophets will bear sufferings and bear afflictions and bear patience. But they are upheld by the Holy Spirit. Luke 21:19. and your patience possess ye your souls. We just pray that we will do that also, you know. That and number five is found in Deuteronomy 18. Excuse me. 21 and 22. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the Lord which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. For the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, that thou shalt not be afraid of him. We know that. We know that true prophets speak prophecies that come to pass. As we read, Brittany read Lamentations 3:37. Who is he that saith and is come to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? And the question is asked, whose word will come to pass if the Lord hath not spoken it? 1 Samuel 9:16 and also Jeremiah 28:9. The prophet which prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath trust, has truly sent him. Thank you. When a prophet speaks, wait and see if it comes to pass. Then we shall know if the Lord has sent him or not. And so we need to see what will happen. But if somebody prophesies even today, if somebody said prophesies about something, we need to wait to see whether it comes to pass and what will happen. Number six is John 41. John 10, 41. John 10, 41. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man was true. We know that miracles are not a test of a true prophet. Satan's going to counterfeit most of the miracles that have been made. And we see all of these miracles in the end of the time. We don't know whether they're true or not, whether they truly come from God or from Satan. But we must not look to the miracles for the Lord's truth, test of a true prophet. Excuse me. But we know that John didn't did miracles, but yet he was a true prophet of God. As we continue to read about him in Revelation 19 and 20, Revelation 13 and 14, in Deuteronomy 13, 13. And let's turn to Deuteronomy 13, 13. Certain men, the children of Baal, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known. And we know that this is not to happen. And we just pray that we will that. And when a prophet or a dreamer, and that's one who has vision, tells you a sign or a wonder or a dream, and it doesn't come to pass, we need to watch out what was going to happen next or what he's going to tell you next to do. And if it's not in harmony with the law and the Bible, it's not to do it. For the Lord has allowed this to happen to test us. And we can read that in Revelation 16, 14. We know that God will test us in many ways. And only through the guidance of the Holy Spirit and reading the scriptures and reading the word can we come through the test and obey God. We need to obey God, as we talked about it this morning. We know that our obedience is mandatory. We have to obey what the Lord tells us. And our last one is number seven, is Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or fruit, figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, whereby by their fruits ye shall know them. And as there's different trees in the Bible and everything else, the different kinds of trees ever, whether it's an evergreen tree or a fig tree or whatever, can be applied to each one of us in one way. That each one of us are one kind of these trees that are in the Bible. So by their fruits ye will know them. You're going to be able to detect false prophets by how they act, what they do, and how they speak. John 16:13. And that is one of the reasons why our lives are the best indication of whether we live for Christ or not. People are able to see Christ in us by the way that we live. So that, and it's the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which guides a true prophet and will guide each one of us, the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:18-13, 1 John 5:1-4, and John 13:34-35. And that'll be the last verse. Let's turn to John 13. John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, and if ye have one to another. Simon Peter said unto the Lord, whither thou goest? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And we know that we can follow Jesus Christ. When he comes again, we will be with him for eternity. We're going to be with him, ever learning, ever growing in grace, growing in stature, and that we can be his children forever and ever. And we're going to have that union with Christ and with one another. And I just pray that each one of us are there, that we all meet on a sea of glass, and that we can truly be children of the living God. Our gracious Heavenly Father, yes, we pray that as we know not the hour, that you prepare us for that hour. Prepare our hearts and our minds, Father, that we may be your children forever. And we know that this is but the stepping stone to the future, to be able to walk the streets of gold, and to take of the tree of life, Father, the opportunities that you will give us. But the opportunities we have here now to be your children, to be your representative, Father, that we pray that as we learn, hear of your word and listen to the prophets, that we just pray that we will read the word of the Lord, Father, so that we may know thee and know what you expect of us. And may we truly be obedient to thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen.